touchdown for Jacksonville.
Touchdown!
Yeah. You're listening to Down by the Bank, a Jacksonville Jaguars podcast with Corey, Derek, and JK3.
All right, welcome to Down by the Bank, sponsored by Brewers Pizza, Orange Park, and Clay County's only brew pub. This is Corey.
Hey, guys. What's up? It's Derek.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's JK3.
All right, so we are now 1-2 on the season, and the momentum is pointing towards a pretty good schedule the rest of the way, so that's pretty exciting. So I know we're going to talk a little bit about the game coming up versus the Broncos this Sunday. And a couple other items as well. But one thing we kind of chatted about beforehand that I thought would be interesting to talk about is the Jaguars merchandise environment right now, because with the whole Minshew mania thing going through not just Jacksonville but the whole league, you're seeing T-shirts and custom T-shirts by people other than the official team and copying going on and all that kind of stuff. A lot of feuding about such copying on Twitter and other places. What do you guys think about all that?
I mean, I don't want to plug any of the places that are doing it because obviously, you know, we don't want to give any free publicity to the shirts. But it seems like ever since Minshew Mania became a thing, everyone became a T-shirt designer overnight.
Right.
Like, yeah. Overnight, everybody got their degree in graphic design. And it's crazy.
That's true. Yeah. That is, I have noticed that. Actually, my T-shirts are rolling out tomorrow, so
I mean, their people are literally taking, you know, their Photoshop designs they're making on like Paint or whatever and slapping it on a Hanes, not even a 50-50 cotton T-shirt, like the old ones that you get out of the convenience stores. That shrink, like literally once you wash them one time and slapping them into making this on it.
Like that rest stop quality T-shirt material, right? You know, the shirts with, like, wolves on them and things?
Oh, geez. Yeah. You know what's funny, too, is you sit there and you look at all the different shirts and the different designs, and then you see the Jags come out with their shirts through, you know, like, NFL Shop, and they actually got the Jags logo on there.
Right.
And nobody else does it. So, and then I think one shirt, like, misspelled Duval.
Yeah.
And, you know, they added a bunch of letters to it.
Yeah,
they tried to get around the copyright stuff. And I'm sitting here saying to myself, like, man, anytime something good come around, people trying to make a buck. Like, what happened to 904 Netty or whatever, or something like that? All that stuff, you know, I guess all that's dead now, huh? It's about Minshew Mania now.
Yeah.
Oh, slap it on a T-shirt.
If I'm Gardner Minshew, I'm pissed because it's like everyone makes his, like, face look a certain way and his hair is a certain way. It's either got – like those aviator sunglasses, a ridiculous mustache, and messy hair. And he's probably just like, so this is what you guys really think about me. This is all I am to you. Uncle Rico, an aviator, and a mustache.
Yeah, he seems like he embraces it, though, for the most part.
Hey, man, Uncle Rico came to town. So
yeah,
it's funny how that's all come about. And dude, what's hot is hot, man. And right now, like, he is not just him as a football player, but also just as who he is. And that's what the appealing part is. Like, he just don't care, man. Like we've talked about before in the last couple episodes, he does not care. And it is great. It is absolutely great.
I just had the best idea. So, you know, when Napoleon Dynamite, when Uncle Rico is actually, like, cooking the steaks outside, outside of his camper?
Yeah.
So, hear me out. So what if during your tailgate you took like some steaks and grilled them up, brought them into the stadium, and every time Minshew scores a touchdown, you just hang up a steak right here and just like, you know, just hanging out there.
Yeah. Or like in hockey. Yeah, in hockey when they score and they like, throw stuff.
Oh, they throw like a catfish or a squid.
Yeah,
or
we just throw a steak on the field.
We just throw steaks on. You heard it here first. If anyone takes that right now, you can eat any type of steak. The $2 Walmart steaks, the steaks of your that you get for your dog at PetSmart, the little rubber squeaky ones. That's what we should get. Those kind of steaks, those rubber squeaky ones that you throw out there.
Go to Golden Corral and just like put a little like zipper bag, because that's the thing too is you have to bring it in a zipper bag as per their policy. So just make sure you really plan it out. That's a really good idea. Yeah, we should definitely do that. In fact, I'm pretty sure they would kick you out of the stadium for throwing stuff on the field. But
so we're gonna have a bunch of steaks and a bunch of Tupperware on the field thrown onto the field. Remember, that's what he sold in the movie was the Tupperware you would run over to.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember when Kip ran it over and it actually burst and he just drove off.
Yeah.
Weird movie.
Yeah, that was so representative of, like, what do you call them, multi-level marketing schemes? There's been a lot of different good ones out there, but Tupperware is not really the thing anymore, I don't think.
Hey, you look like a strong pup. Why don't you see if you can break this Tupperware? Like, who can rip Tupperware?
Yeah. And then we'll shut up about this, but the where he threw in that random, like, boat as the promotion. She's like, I want that boat. But anyway, so
it's a great time, man. It's a great time to be a Jags fan, and you know, although we got some where the sun shines, we also got some clouds. Unfortunately, it's more like a F5 tornado with the whole Jalen Ramsey situation. Me personally, I'm getting kind of tired of it. I mean, I really don't care. If he wants to be here, he wants to be here. If he doesn't want to be here, he doesn't want to be here. I'm just getting sick of it. I know we're not going to spend too much time on it, but it's annoying as all get out.
I am sick and tired of being sick and tired of Jalen Ramsey. And the thing too that aggravates the most is like it's like a bad reality show. Like Monday, he calls in sick, so you have to hear about it all day long. And you know, and this is my fault for subscribing to only like. Jaguars related stuff on Twitter. So it's like every time I refresh and scroll, it's someone's conspiracy theory about why he's not at the field or not with the team. And then Tuesday, it's like he's got a back issue, but he actually flew out to film a commercial on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, he's having a baby. And it's so old right now. Like if he wants to be, like you said, Derek, if he wants to be here, great. If he doesn't want to be here, gone. There's so many other rumors and stuff like that floating around about him, you know, and having a potential deal already with a team, and I don't know what they're waiting for, and blah blah blah. It just needs to be over with, man. There's so much other positive things going on with this team, you know, with like the fact that our offense and our receivers actually look good, that it's being overshadowed by the drama by Jalen Ramsey, and you know, there's no means to it. There's nobody that's going to be able to agree to it, you know, what should be done, or if he's wrong for, you know, bowing up at Marone, or if he should just shut up and play football. Yeah, it's so old, man.
Yeah. What do you guys think about the guy that's replacing him Sunday? I mean, we'll get more into the game coming up later on in the podcast, but just in terms of, you know, the next guy up, I mean, are we solid there? Is it a huge concern, at least for the rest of the season, or what are you feeling like?
They're going to go after him. Emmanuel Sanders is going to line up against him, and whoever, they're going to go after him. Flacco, although they haven't looked great at all on offense, I mean, Peyton Lindsay's looked okay at best. I think Herndon, he's got to get ready. He's got to get ready to play. And hopefully he goes out and plays. You know, the momentum is on our side. Now it's just a matter of going out and executing. The distraction are there, so we just got to see. We just got to see what's going to happen.
I mean, it really all depends on where Emmanuel Sanders does line up, because the other guy is Courtland Sutherland. So I think if Trey Herndon did his thing against, you know, Will Fuller and, you know, DeAndre Hopkins. So I think Trey Herndon, you know, I think he did pretty well against, you know, Will Fuller when he was lined up against them. DeAndre Hopkins was over him sometimes as well. So I think, you know, Courtland Sutherland and, you know, Emmanuel Sanders, still pretty good receivers, but you got to keep the running backs, you know, in check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so anyway, I just thought it would be interesting to kind of talk about that replacement player because, I mean, that's probably who's going to be starting the rest of the way out. I mean, at this point, it seems like we're pretty much dead set on the fact that Ramsey's going to get traded in one capacity or another. So we'll see how that goes. I did want to touch on just really briefly, even for my own informational purposes, but Derek, I don't think you went either, but I know I didn't make the Thursday game, unfortunately. Don't hate me. I'm still a fan, but I just couldn't make it out. So I know, JK3, that you went. So one thing we like to talk about is kind of the game day experience, how the fan base is reacting, what they got going on at the stadium. So you're typically an early arrival at the TA Bank Field. I think when I was looking at your stories, you were down there pretty early Thursday, right?
Yeah, man. You know, the NFL Network pretty much took up a lot of the Bolt City Brigade tailgate where I park at. So I had to park a little bit over away from the slab. So you can walk in, you go in, go over some railroad tracks and still right there. But overall, man, I think great experience as far as getting into the stadium. You know, they did improve a lot of the ticket scanners, and a lot of the people were able to get in quickly. I got there around 4 o'clock, 3:40, yeah, maybe 3:45, 4 o'clock, and it was already packed pretty much. But as far as walking into the stadium, getting everybody in, man, it was great. It was just still a pretty electric atmosphere. The best part about it, though, man, is that we got in quickly. So the scanners, I don't know if they did like some type of patch or a upgrade on the scanners, but it was seamless walking in. And then again, you know, the Jags, they really do a good job of making sure that we put a pretty good fan experience on. So, you know, all of your Thursday night whistle and bells, and then we get the W. The rain sucked, but, you know, you can't really control that. But, you know, all the stuff that they pretty much do on a Thursday night, stadium, I would say, as far as being packed, still issues, man. The rain, people. I mean, it's Florida. It's rain. You know it's going to rain for at least 5 minutes. I had on a polo and some PGA Tour store. I shouldn't have mentioned that, but they're not going to pay us. But some PGA Tour store, like shorts, like some moisture-wicking shorts. And, you know, it rained. And then I was dry. So, bottom line, man, it was good getting in, good getting out. I mean, we got the W, so yeah. That's all that matters most. The stadium does have the best popcorn, though. Their popcorn is so good, man. I don't know what they do, but the popcorn's really good.
That popcorn's real good too, and a little bit of that rainwater gets on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I have no idea, but this is better than like movie theater popcorn.
Really?
It was so good.
Wow. Okay. That's
I know that's random as heck, but yeah, it was good.
Honestly, that's the kind of content I like. So, talk about the food.
I just would like to see some things added to the game day experience. I know we've talked about like that photo booth in Dallas that they have.
That is cool. That is really cool.
Yeah, they got some really good stuff, man. I'm not saying exactly that, you know, come up with your own stuff, be your own, you know, your own team, your own franchise, your own style. But I would be curious to see what ideas they have coming up as far as, you know, even improving the game day experience. You know, I don't like, for instance, the dog park. Okay. We've been on this before. Why? For those that own animals, nothing against you, but why do you want to bring your dog to a football game? And just, you know, that just doesn't make any sense. So anyway, stuff like that. You know, I don't even know if they might even got rid of dog park now. Maybe
no, it's there.
I don't know. Is it still there?
It's still there. And I will die on this hill that you can take something away from the fan experience if I get something cool or some type of incentive other than teal deals for me being a season ticket holder.
Yeah.
Like literally. Like, I look and see some I look and see some of the stuff that other fans and other teams get for being season ticket holders, and all you get for being a Jaguar season ticket holder is literally teal deals and heat stroke week one. That's all you get. That's all you get.
Yeah.
Literally. That's it, bro. And another thing, too, as a pet peeve of mine, because I've been listening to local media over the last, like, 3 weeks, and – when people call in and say, I've been a Jaguar season ticket holder for 27 years, it's like, well, number one, team's been alive for 25 years, 25 seasons, number one. And number two, you act like this is like some type of prestigious fraternity. This isn't Green Bay. This isn't Pittsburgh. Hopefully it does get to that place. But if I left my Jaguar season tickets to my kids in my will, they'd probably be like, Dad, do you hate me? You know what I mean? Like,
oh, jeez.
I'm just saying. I'm just, bro. It's not as prestigious. So no. If you don't call in acting like you've been on a waiting list for like the Bears or a waiting list for even the Jets or the Giants.
Yeah.
Well, I think Derek, you tell me, but I think people, from my understanding, when they usually say that on the what.
No, I was just saying, if you're going to call in to the drill, you're going to call in to the fourth quarter show or any of these other places, if you're going to throw that number of you being out there and being a season ticket holder, then you should be at the games.
Yeah.
And for as many callers that I've heard over the past couple of weeks calling in and saying they've been a season ticket holder for X amount of years, you're really not there in the third or fourth quarter for the team. That's all I'm saying.
I think it's one of those things where, like, I'm a season ticket holder and I'm paying their salaries, or Jalen Ramsey needs to get to the state, you know, like one of those things. I think that's how they're playing it. But.
Excuse me, sir, are you a caller from Callahan?
And I think it's offensive that Minshew's wearing number 15.
The only person that should be wearing 15 is Tim Tebow. Oh, man. All right. Yo, we're going to anger some people there.
Says the guy that's in never mind. I'm not going to shout where you at right now. But no, but it's the whole thing, whether it's the game day experience, the fan experience, you got to have those guys that, you know, bring people to the stadium. You know, Jalen is one of those guys. Looks like he's on his way out. Pretty sure, you know, DeRocco, we've had him on the show multiple times. He said they just wrote another article. I guess Jalen hopped on another podcast and Nate Burleson and said, I want out. You know, okay, whatever. But we got something better now, in my opinion. I think Minshew, although it's new, I think that would be better. You know, the underdog story is always better.
Yeah.
So that's another way to get people in the stands. And the last thing is, too, what people got to realize is, you can't really compare us to other teams in the NFL. I was going to say this for another episode, but I'll go ahead and say it. I wonder what the average age is for our season ticket holders versus other teams. What the average age is. I guarantee you ours is not just a little bit younger, but a lot younger than your average team.
You think so?
Again, at least I'd say 10 years. Like, if our average age of our season ticket holders was 35, I guarantee if you take somebody like Pittsburgh or Green Bay or Chicago or Dallas, bet you they're, like, pushing 50, 45, 50. Guaranteed.
Yeah, I don't know.
That would be interesting. We got to find that out if someone out there listening's got that info. What's the average age of our season ticket holders? I know that's kind of, you know, crazy, but you kind of look at it as we have a generation coming up. There's a great movement of young fans in their 30s and late 20s that are coming up that really love the team. They grew up with the team. You know, they grew up in the 90s when the team first started. So we still got another 10, 15 years to go before we can really say, okay, fans, are we going to support the team or not? I get it. Well, you know, the stadium looks empty half the time, but
yeah. And that's horrible. But I will say, not even just the fans growing up with the team, but also there's so much economic development in Jacksonville and so much new housing and so many people moving here. And St. John's County is probably super undervalued right now or untapped, you know, with the fancy area like Derek lives. But do you know what I'm saying, though? Do you know what I mean? I just feel like there's a lot of untapped potential, especially coming up, which makes it so much more important that they are really hitting it out of the park in this kind of like crucial transitional period for Jacksonville. So the Minshew thing helps for sure, because I think anytime we can get any kind of national publicity, it pushes the more fair weather fans or the people who are there just for social reasons to the stadium to be a part of something like that. So I think the Minshew thing, like you said, is pretty important actually.
Well, I mean, we got to give more credit. I mean, don't get me wrong. Minshew is great. And at the beginning of this year, if you would have told me that I would have been hyped about another quarterback besides Nick Foles, you know, I would have took whatever bet or gamble or, you know, anything else like that. But you really got to put it against, you know, the offense. DJ Chark, They finally got him off of – I think he's actually still on special teams. But somehow this kid has found hands. He's been when he was receiving balls from Blake, granted, I mean, they were still hitting him in the hands. He was dropping every last one of them. I've seen this kid literally drop passes that hit him straight in the hands, and his hands are bringing another element to the another element to the offense. Not enough ball to go around in KC, so you know, of course, we have to take that out. And now, you know, he's flourishing on the team. And then you've got D.D. Westbrook as well, who disappointingly has dropped three passes. Marquise Lee, if he runs the right route, you know, he's got a touchdown here and there. So the receiving corps is completely stepped up their game.
Yeah.
Also.
And I think that's honestly like the Chark thing. Minshew's almost kind of overshadowing, like you said, some of the other standouts right now. And Chark's definitely one of them for sure.
Well, the biggest thing is Chark's not having to catch screwballs and knuckleballs out there.
Right.
You know, I didn't know it was possible to throw a screwball with a football. I really didn't know, but Blake showed us that it can be done. And if you look at the placement of balls when they're thrown, like, you know, when, like I said, we try not to get too technical, but look at it this way. They have something called high point, where the ball is thrown at the highest point, or the ball is thrown and the receiver goes and gets it at the highest point before it, you know, gets to, like, you know, neck or head level. And so he uses his big frame and he high points the ball. Another thing which I noticed that was, like, absolutely great was using the pylons. So, for example, I don't know if many people know this, but when a QB throws a ball and it's going, you know, 30, 40 yards into the end zone, he's really trying to throw it, especially on the side towards the boundary, he's trying to throw it towards the back pylon. And the receiver knows this. So he knows that as he's getting closer to that pylon, he needs to turn around. So if you notice, those balls are like they're dang near perfect when he's throwing them, and the receivers have a chance to make a play, and that's what it's all about, giving them a chance to make a play. And they've taken full advantage of it, like something I didn't expect. Like nobody expected that. Nobody expected that type of turnout.
Yeah, I know for sure. I mean, that's the thing. There are some exciting things to be excited about for a 1-2 team and the stuff going on with Jalen Ramsey. I mean, it could be worse. I mean, honestly, the fact that we're excited at this point is pretty cool with how the season's played out.
I think so much excitement, too, is that this team, I know hindsight is 50-50, but they should be 2-1.
Yeah,
right.
Agreed.
Sure. Marone kicks that field goal in Houston. You put the defense out in the field, Minshew, I'm not going to say that. Marone goes for two and actually makes the right call and keeps the ball in Minshew's hand. This team is 2-1, heading to an 0-3 Denver Broncos team. Then looking down at a dismal Carolina Panthers team. Then looking at a Drew Breesless, Saints team.
Right, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, that's what I was saying at the beginning, is that it seems like with the schedule the rest of the way, I mean, there's some potential that we could make a little run. But that starts Sunday at Denver. And I'll let you guys kind of take it away on the X's and O's portion of it. But I will say I did travel to Denver this year for vacation for the first time. It's a pretty nice little area. I like it. I thought Denver itself was a little overrated. I like the little cities around there a little bit more. But the whole elevation thing is real, that's for sure.
Elevation, did you get a green thumb while you were there?
No, but I will tell you, literally when you leave the satanic airport that they have there, I don't know if you've heard about that, but there's like
satanic, wow.
Yeah, there's like a horse statue that has glowing red eyes, and there's references to like lizard people. It's really weird, actually. Google that if you haven't already. Anybody who's out there, if you travel to Denver, the Denver International Airport is a like a cult thing or something. I don't know. But yeah, as soon as you step off out of the airport, you literally can smell marijuana everywhere, and there's stores everywhere and green. What is it? Like a green, like it's almost like the Red Cross symbol, but green instead of red everywhere, like every other store. So no, it's definitely very prevalent up there, which maybe that's the reason for Denver not playing as well. Maybe they're not all in the zone, but yeah. So what do you guys think? I mean, the game, coming Sunday, I mean, is the momentum going to keep us going here? You know, even in Denver, which is, you know, probably a tougher place to play an away game at.
So my thing is, as far as the Denver Broncos right now, and this is just 0-3 Denver Broncos, you know, I hope Jacksonville doesn't do their typical go out west and completely lay an egg, you know, and act like they don't know how to play a game during the atmosphere. But the Denver Broncos have probably been one of the most disappointing teams from a defensive standpoint. I mean, they don't have any sacks. No turnovers right now, and they're -4 in the turnover ratio. For some of the casual fans who don't know what that means, that means that teams are getting 4 turnovers or more turnovers, and they have had 0. So they've had 4 turnovers, and no one, and they have not forced a turnover yet. So, and this is a team with Von Miller. This is a team with you know, some pretty good. I would say some pretty decent, you know, defensive line, you know, play as well coming in. But most importantly, you know, Von Miller being your linebacker, and that leads that. I don't know. This may be, you know, Minshew's actual coming out party.
What do you think, Derek?
The biggest thing is just playing within yourself, playing with what got you there, not believing, you know, not trying to, you know, go beyond your means. They've been using the running game to try and, you know, trying to break the running game. It hasn't been working too well, offensive line and everything else. But the offensive line is just not getting the push that it needs to get to free up Fournette. Or Fournette's not finding the holes. He just hasn't been as nimble. But the two things here that you really got to look at when facing Denver is just, you know, they're going to try to run the ball. And they don't have any sacks. Chubb, Von Miller, you know, they got decent corner play with Harris on one side, at least, Chris Harris. But they're going to try and get after. They're not going to just let him sit back there and throw the football. So they really have to get at. They're really going to try and get after him. And the Jags just need to be ready. And they need to take advantage of mistakes that Flacco's going to make, because Flacco does throw picks. And we need to be ready for him. We need to make sure we capitalize. And none of this field goal crap. Lambeau's gonna look like the world's greatest kicker out there. By the way, the ball goes an extra 5 or 6 yards because of that air being so thin out there.
Yeah,
bro, how do you not have any sacks against the Raiders? I'm just being real. How do you not have any sacks against the Raiders? Aaron Rodgers, Trubisky is kind of on the upside, but the Raiders, you don't have one sack at all. That's crazy to me that they don't have a sack yet as far as the team goes.
Hey, speaking of sacks, I was seeing this earlier as well, that they gave up 6 sacks last week against the Packers, and they've given up 11 overall. So, I mean, do you guys see this as a good kind of continuation of the whole Saxon Bills back thing? Or
Our defensive line is going to get after that. We're going to get after it. Flacco's got 2 left feet. He's a slower decision-making, you know, passer, and he's got a Super Bowl ring, so you got to give that to him. But if Denver doesn't block, he thought he had a bad day against the Packers, and I know the Packers' defense is revamped, and you know they've really come to life these past couple of weeks. But although they're getting beat right now as we're recording, but our defensive line, man, they can really get after it. They can really get after it. We all know it. That's, you know, that's why they got the nickname, you know, Saxonville. And man, Flacco might have one of those days like he used to have in Baltimore, when he would just get his head absolutely torn off and he didn't know what to do.
Why is the Super Bowl ring, and like, why is the Super Bowl ring like attached to the quarterback forever? Like, it's like, oh yeah, he won a Super Bowl ring and now he's just some elite passer. It's like, you're talking about Joe Flacco, the guy who won a Super Bowl ring and then the next day went and bought like 40 piece McNugget. Yeah. I mean, he's, I get it, but he's not the same quarterback caliber of, you know, the past. Just like Eli Manning, people will rest those I mean, so, like, do you think the Super Bowl ring, like, moniker is watered down?
It's not watered down. It's more like, and they were talking about it earlier on a show I was listening to. I'm not going to, you know, quote them, but they do make a point. Pastors of 20 years ago would be crappy, you know, 20, 30 years ago would be crappy in today's NFL. Because the NFL today is such a passing league, like 75, 70, 80%, you know, completion, 300 yards, four touchdowns. Because that's what excites people is numbers, statistics, and you know, passing game. They've taken the physicality out of football, you know, rules, so there can be more scoring. It's just a fact. Point is, what I'm trying to make is quarterbacks that win Super Bowls that don't throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns in a game or don't bring their team back from the dead like Tom Brady did, they're just looked at, they won the Super Bowl due to a technicality. Like Eli Manning. Like, you think about it, look at Eli Manning. Eli's got two of them. He beat Brady on both of them. Spent an undefeated season at one. And if you said right now list the top 10 quarterbacks over the last 15 years, would anybody have Eli on their list?
Probably not.
Well, not Nick Foles. Nick Foles had one, and that was one of his selling points.
Yeah. So it might get you a big contract, might make sure you still have a job, or if you go to another team will pick you up and give you an opportunity to start and play. But it's just, you know, we're such a pass-happy, got to have the stats, got to throw for 300 yards, because that's what people want. You know, they want Pat Mahomes.
Who just got moved up to like a 99 on Madden right now. I mean, you guys Madden out there playing. That's crazy.
That's cool information. Nerd.
No, I'm being serious. That is unreal that he's moved up to a 99.
I don't know, but 40-piece chicken McNuggets sounds so good right now with some barbecue sauce, and I could eat all that.
I'd rather have the Szechuan sauce.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Did you get that? You're not a Rick and Morty kind of guy?
I mean, I heard about it when it came out, but no, I didn't get that. I'm late on everything. I didn't get that. I didn't get the Popeyes thing, which I guess is not even a thing anymore. I haven't heard of that at all.
You didn't have a Popeyes chicken sandwich?
No, every time I went, I could never get it.
You know they have this thing now, it's called like a BYOB, bring your own bun, so you can get like three-piece spicy or three-piece regular and bring your own bun, BYOB, and then just make a chicken sandwich out of that.
That's so stupid. Is that they promote that? Like they say bring your own bun?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? That's in their advertising?
But the wildest thing about it, get this, the wildest thing was like, oh, yeah, we ran out of chicken sandwiches. You guys literally broke the chicken. But sign up for our app and be the first to know when we get more back.
Huh. Jeez. Yeah. No, Chick-fil-A is better anyway, so.
Wait, stop. As far as a product, we're just talking the chicken sandwich. Popeyes is superior. I'm not talking about the hand sanitizers in the bathroom, the free stuff that you get from the app. But as far as a superior product.
Yeah, but you just left something out. The complete blessing of our Lord and Savior. I mean, that's important too, right?
You know what? We're not even going to go there.
The Popeye sandwich moved up for me when I had it on a Sunday. I had it on a Sunday after church, and I was like, wow, this is actually what I've been missing my entire life. But anyways, back to – and speaking of Von Miller, he's got his degree in, like, poultry science from – Texas A&M. So we should go to Vaughn and ask him, yo, what's up with the chicken sandwich?
Yeah, we should Google and see what his opinion is. That's probably more science based. Yeah, but
man, he might be able to see everything on the field if he wears those glasses. Man, don't know if any of you guys out there have known, but Von Miller's got some Coke bottle lenses, dude.
We were talking earlier, and you said that he wears a visor, right? That's prescription. What if he wore those Charles Oakley Horace Grant glasses?
Oh, God. Oh, man.
That'd be kind of cool.
Dude, it's amazing. He can actually see. Like, just look. I'm like, when I've seen him, you know, do interviews, and I'm looking at his glasses, like, dude, can you see? Like, well, I guess so with those thick lenses on, but if you take those things off,
But, speaking of accessories, what do you guys think about that watch that Odell Beckham got from Wish?
Oh, the watch that he wore?
Yeah. Oh, man. It was only worth, like, it was, like, an off-brand, like, worth, like, $2 or something. Did you hear that?
Oh, man. Yeah. He's so... The Browns got problems, man. The Browns got some problems, but...
What do you think the Jags... How do the Jags get out of here? Like, the only way that I can really... The only way I really see the Jags losing this game is if it's just this... West Coast curse that we have, that we can't win on the West Coast. Denver, you know, they're not really doing that good on, you know, the defensive side of the ball. So, I mean, is the only thing that we really do is just is this a coming out party for Fournette? Like, y'all tell me, like, what do we do?
It needs to be a coming out party for him or something. We got to get something done on the ground. They're going to be, I think, here's the thing. It's only been three games, people, but word is out. We actually have a quarterback. We talked about scheme and all that as far as, you know, whether you're going to scheme for Fournette or scheme for Minshew. I think they're going to change it up because teams, you know, don't believe, you know, our offensive line can block. So they might take that safety and push him back, and now Minshew might see more seven deep looks, you know, more shell looks, more cover three guys on top, four linebackers, and, you know, in the middle, four guys in the middle, not four linebackers, but in that space. And I think he's going to see a lot of that stuff because secret's out, word's out. The guy can play football.
Which is so crazy because, like, the last 3 years when we've been doing this podcast, we've been talking about setting the run and setting up the run for the pass. And now it's like we're setting up the pass for the run. It's just wild, man.
Yeah, and that's and make no mistake about it, people. That's why we've been able to get Sharp down the field on some of those touchdown throws and some of those long passes, is because it's eight people in the box. It's been single high or no safety at all. Nine times out of ten, it's been no safety at all. Teams have just been putting both safeties in the box and saying, "Okay, beat us with the passing game." Now I think we're, you know, and I know I always preach the running game, but I think it's going to be a little bit of the opposite now.
Which is so crazy too, man, because don't get me wrong, I love Blake Bortles like the next person does here in Jacksonville, but the balls that Minshew throws and the placement that he's throwing, he could never make. No. I mean, just being real. Dude, this dude throws balls and it's like, wow. Like, I mean, I'm being completely honest, like the ball placement that he throws is reckless, number one, but two, it's downfield and it's accurate. It's where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Kind of like a question on that. How did – I mean, it's only been a few games, so I'm not saying, like, he's arrived and he's so great and he's going to be great forever. But he I mean, he's hitting those passes. Just it's crazy. How did they miss that? I mean, how did other teams miss that to the point where he fell to the sixth round?
You know, the biggest thing is you can evaluate. You can look at talent. You can – do all those things that teams do. You just don't know. You don't know what they're going to do as far as trying to make sure that the guy that they select is the guy that they're going to have that plays well and you know, starts. Or, you know, it's so difficult. You just don't know. I can tell you he's got confidence. A lot of the times, I mean, these guys, they make it to the National Football League. They're professionals.
Yeah.
You know, they're the best, you know, football players in the world because they play in the most prestigious football league. One, you know, there's only really one technically.
Well, so XFL.
They can play and they know they can play. Now it's about the confidence that they have to see, you know, what they can do as far as, you know, how to play the game. That's the biggest thing. Is the confidence. The confidence is bigger than anything. That's Bortles' problem. Besides the fact that he throws knuckleballs and screwballs, I mean, that was his problem all along, was the confidence. If teams rattled him just a little bit, like Tennessee knew that they had us as soon as they stepped on the field because they knew all they had to do is just remind Bortles, hey, dude, you suck. You know, you're going to suck today. And he'd just say, you know, they'll probably look at him, whatever, chill, you know, whatever. And then they'd go out and lose. I mean, if they said that to Gardner Minshew, it's like, hey, dude, your jorts look stupid. He'll probably be like, yo, you want me to cut you a pair after the game? You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, it's all about that. It's all about that that mental capability you have to just block all that crap out and go out and play. Because they're professionals, man. It's what they do.
The only thing that's still consistent about you know, Blake Bortles and some of the passes, that Hearns is still getting destroyed on routes. No matter who's throwing this guy balls, he's getting thrown across the field and just getting completely wiped out in Miami and Dallas and Jacksonville. Man.
Is he hurt again or something?
Oh, dude.
No, bro. On Sunday, he got his clean. Like, he had the T-Rex arms and everything, and that's probably so bad to say, but when you see somebody get hurt and you when you can tell they're hurt. You can tell they're hurt. And Hearns has been hurt everywhere he goes, and it's like, dude, you know what, man? Maybe football just probably shouldn't play anymore.
Yeah, I don't think T-Rex arms is the medical terminology for that.
It's called a concussion. it's what that's called. Yeah, I don't know if it was Rosen or what that threw that ball, but, man, leaving receivers out to dry, that's the worst thing in the world. You can only imagine. You got a 220-pound freight train of a safety coming at you, and you're out extended trying to get the ball. Who is it that threw that? Was it Rosen that threw that? And got
I don't know who
destroyed, man.
They should be fine for throwing that ball. They should literally be fine for that. That was terrible.
And that's another thing, too. Quarterbacks know, like, there was a play years ago where Kurt Warner threw a ball to Anquan Boldin, and Anquan Boldin got lit up pretty good. And Kurt Warner, he could see he was visibly upset at himself for throwing that ball. Although he was open, you know that, okay, the safety's going to come and kill him, you know, if I throw it, so don't throw it just yet. Wait. And Minshew doesn't do that at all, man. I haven't seen him leave one receiver out to dry yet. I mean, I think there might have been one, but that was kind of tough. You know, that was a tough call as far as where, if to throw it or not. But that's what I think. You know, that's basically what I'm saying, man. That's what I think. It's all a mental thing, you know, is the reason why Wonderlic tests can only take you so far on what they think these guys can process and how they can play.
All right, well, cool. Any final thoughts on the game, or are you guys good?
We just need to win. We need to get the 2-2. We just need to win. We need to get this is our time right now. These next 6 weeks, we need to make a run. And not talking like 4-2 or 3-3. No, we need to win them all. Just screw it. Just win them all, man.
That's you got to win them all because Nick Foles comes back. That's what he does. He comes back. He comes back week 10, week 11.
Win the Super Bowl.
I'm back. Hey, what it do, baby? I'm back. Here we go. We're going to the Super Bowl now. You know what I mean? So you definitely have to win as much as you possibly can. But I think in this position that you got to get sacks. You got to continue and don't have a coming out. You know, this can't be one of those games where, you know, Flacco has just a great game and there's no sacks from the Jacksonville defense in Jacksonville. Because historically the Jags do that when a team completely – you know, does not do good at a certain level, the Jags come out and they exploit them for that same reason of what they weren't good at. And then number two, man, you gotta trust the stash. Trust the chew. Let him go out there, man, and let him throw the ball, let him do his thing, and just let him play completely reckless. I mean, what are you gonna lose?
Yeah.
Foles is already hurt. What are you gonna lose? What can you lose?
And that'll be the thing too, is seeing if they put the ball in Minshew's hands. They should have done that against the Texans, but they chose not to, and it cost us. And they did it against the Titans, and we won. So let's see if they you know, trust their gut as coaches and do the same thing. And hey, maybe that'll, you know, push those safeties back, and we can grind it out and leave with a victory that way. We'll see.
All right. Well, cool. All right, well, it's going to be an exciting game. We'll see if Minshew mania continues and Chark continues to play as well as he did, and hopefully we get another big sack game. Again, if you guys don't mind, if you're on Apple Podcasts right now, if you could just take a second to jump on and leave us a rating and review, we would certainly appreciate that. We actually got just a new 5-star review the other day, so that was pretty cool. Appreciate that.
Yo, every time we get a 5-star review, can you make like that Jamaican, like, bah, 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 you know, something like that?
We could just do a recording of your voice doing it.
Bah, 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 bah.
Wow. All right.
Jamaican?
Yeah, Reggae thing. Man, we need to go on that note. We need to go. Yeah.
All right, cool. So leave a rating, a review. You get to hear a bum, 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 and we'll talk to you guys next time.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.